Hi. As the name of the podcast suggests, I connect a lot of topics together in the service of growing the practice of psychotherapy. As the number of episodes grows, it occurred to me that I could offer you a way to organize the episodes. So I've created playlists. Playlists are compilations of all the episodes on one topic. If you'd like to try this out, there is a link in the show notes to the playlist page, where you will find the categories, and then you click on the category you're interested in, and you'll see all the episodes on that topic. I hope you enjoy it. While you're there, you could sign up for the newsletter if you like. Those come out weekly and are a great way for us to stay in touch, and for you to keep up to date about the podcast and additional events. Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. Voice prosody is a way of listening to how someone says what they have to say. From Britannica, prosody is the study of all the elements of language that contribute toward acoustic and rhythmic effects. And from a psychology perspective, prosody includes the ways that we learn all the associated things to what the person is actually stating. And it has a lot of implications for how we intervene and listen and respond to what we're hearing. So in this episode, I'm going to review voice prosody and a study that's associated with it that helps illuminate how we can use voice prosody in our therapy work. And I'll highlight some ways that I use it in my work and some ways that have been successful for me in my interventions. You can likely understand why I would be someone curious about this topic, given the uniqueness of my own voice. Like it goes for most of us, I didn't realize the sound of my voice was different until I started school. And then when other children started asking me things like, "What's wrong with your voice?" and "Why does your voice sound like that?" It took me a while, but I came up with many elaborate explanations as to why my voice might sound so different from theirs. To this day, I have no idea if any of these things actually affected my voice, but my explanations quieted my peers and gave them something to consider, and more importantly, stopped their repeated questioning of me. And this experience of trying to consider all possibilities gave me a heightened awareness from a young age to my own voice, and it made me acutely aware of the voices of others. And so I am highly attuned to what I say and how I say it, and also what my patients say and how they say it. And that, in a nutshell, is voice prosody. It's all the things of not just what we say, but how we say things that are associated with our communication that for us as mental health therapists is really important to start to gain a broader awareness of all of these factors. And the study I'd like to share today highlights how easy it is for emotions to be conveyed in just one word. So it's a study called The Expression of Vocal Emotions in Cognitively Healthy Adult Speakers, Impact of Emotion Category, Gender, and Age, published in March of 2025 in the Journal of Nonverbal Behavior by Valerie Colom, Vincent Martel Savagno, and Laura Mineta. And even while we're on the topic of voice prosody there, you can hear that I'm not quite sure how to say the second author's last name. By the way, my sound kind of pitched up there, because that's how you can see that I am not confident in that second pronunciation of the name of the authors. So the study examines something similar, which is the ability for emotions to be expressed by one word. So they took 31 healthy adults and they were asked to say "Papa" with 6 emotional tones, including sadness, anger, fear, pleasant surprise, joy, and awe. From previous episodes on Panksepp's 7 affective systems, we can see these are very similar. And it has to do with other researchers have come up with different categorizations. So these are the ones they're using: sadness, anger, fear, pleasant surprise, joy, and awe. And then they asked 5 expert raters and 30 what they called naive or non-trained listeners to complete an emotion recognition task that matched the way the speaker said the words to one of those 6 affects. And they report that their results showed negative emotions were expressed more accurately, but all the 6 emotions, with the exception of awe, were expressed in a way that showed significance. And I just find this fascinating. It's one word, and it's one word repeated 6 times. That's hard to, as a speaker, that was something interesting about this study as well, is that is the sample, that there's really just 2 participant samples here. There's the speakers as well as the naive listeners. And so you have untrained speakers, except that we're all trained because we all speak these words on a regular basis, and then untrained or non-expert listeners. And again, that's the point of this study, is that without specific instruction on how to express through one's voice these emotions for this same word repeated 6 times, they were able to both convey that, and the listeners were able to receive that information off of one word. So I suggest then that as mental health therapists, we need to really be thinking about how much information we can and probably are already hearing in our patient statements. And so I'm raising this today in this podcast episode to start thinking about how we can assess for that. First of all, just to observe it or hear it in unique ways from our patients, so that we can then start to understand more about how to intervene. But right off the top, I think it's important to learn how to hear these things in the multifaceted way that they come across from the speaker. It's a really important area of study, but for now, I'd like to share with you how I listen to what people say and how they say it, because it helps illuminate the relevance of the study I just mentioned to our clinical practice of psychology. So basically, I listen for patterns. In the study I just mentioned, the participants could pick up, especially the negative emotions, as I said, off of just one word. And that means that the way it was said is what is carrying all the emotional information. In therapy, sometimes the way someone mentions a word or a full story will have an emotional quality to it. Okay, let me be more accurate. All the time, this is true. So I listen to what is said, but I'm also tracking the emotional sense of their statements. And then I try to track patterns of where I've heard them say something similar before. Because the salient part usually of the content is the emotional quality to it. And so I listen for a long time before I make any interventions. Sometimes the full session, sometimes for a few sessions. But often what will start to happen is there'll be one story or discussion, and then later in the session or later in a future session, there'll be a seemingly unrelated story that will have the same emotional sensation to it as the prior story. And on the face of it, the two stories may not be related at all for the person. And so I kind of grapple with that for myself a little while when I'm just trying to hear what they're saying and discern the emotions that I'm sensing. And when there are two stories or more that have a similar emotional sensation to them, I will eventually bring this up with the patient to see if they likewise sense a similarity between their two experiences. And often this makes for really important insights. It can be awkward at first, to be clear, because, you know, much like we're doing in this conversation today, we have to get to the point where we both acknowledge that what they're saying, like the content of what they're telling me, is just one part of what is being communicated. And so I do this very gently because, you know, people are already conscious about how they present themselves. And so I don't want to make anyone self-conscious. I want to just be clear about how attentive I am to what I'm hearing and all the ways that I'm hearing and experiencing what they're saying. So generally, I kind of start along those lines to just share a bit of my experience of how the different stories or experiences have had a similar emotional sense to them. And it could be, you know, I like to be responsible in the sense that it could be how I'm hearing them. You know, in the case of the study that I mentioned, it's fascinating to me that they picked for their study Papa, because, you know, that is such a highly universal word in the sense that everyone has more than likely some emotional reaction to the word Papa. And so it's fascinating to me that they picked that word for the study, because the listeners, a lot of times the first thing they hear when they hear the word is their own experience of that word before they can hear how the other person is saying it. And that's what's fascinating to me about how they were still able to show results in that study, because it's a very intense word for most people because they have some experience with, you know, people who have that role in their lives. So when I'm listening to what patients say and I'm sensing these emotional kind of experiences as I'm hearing them, I just take a moment, and sometimes it's a while, to ensure that this is their emotions that I'm sensing and not my own. And once I'm kind of clear on that, then I, as I mentioned, I bring it up for a discussion. And a lot of times people, if I'm hearing them accurately, will kind of not even need my full explanation, because it'll click in for them. They'll be like, oh yeah, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. Yes, you're right. Like, there is something similar there. And so then it provides this nice opportunity for us both to kind of go into the exploration together, where I get to follow their lead because they likewise have seen or sensed something, and now we get to go investigate it together. So that's generally how I like to work with voice prosody. An additional way, or something that I add to that, is I'm fortunate to have been able to work with people of all age ranges, all the way from toddler years up into people who are in their 90s. I'm very honored to have been able to support people from that wide of age range. And this adds another element to my listening. There are some ways that people speak during childhood that tie to the developmental stages. I've discussed Erikson's developmental stages on the podcast in the past. And often, if there was a significant emotional event during that time, there are events that happen, you know, kind of typically during childhood stages. But as I've also mentioned on the podcast trauma can stunt or stop or hinder the development at those stages. So when this happens, no matter what age they are, their memories of that time, whatever it was in their childhood, no matter how many years they've progressed since, a lot of times the way they speak about that time or will revert back to language from the time it happened. So in other words, you can have an adult speaking like a teenager if something happened that, you know, needs to be worked through in therapy during the teenage years, which is very common because the teenage years are very difficult no matter what age you are. So to help my patients understand how this event may still be affecting their current day functioning, I listen essentially in like three levels, and this kind of third dimension being the timing. So the first would be, you know, simply what they are saying, like the content of what they're saying. Second is the emotional sense of it, as I've been discussing here from this study. And the third then that I add is a development related or timing relevant statements that help me delineate how best to intervene in support of working through traumas or significant events. And you can tell there how my own voice, as I mention this, is slowing down, because anytime I am supporting someone who has experienced a trauma, my orientation toward that is that it's their choice whether or not we speak about it or not. I have a lot of experience working with people who have had traumas, and that's the way I like to support people is from the beginning. They get to choose when and if we speak about it. So I'm very delicate when I do notice these things. And so generally I just talk about or intervene by highlighting the fact that it sounds like something they might have said about a different event in their life that happened at that same time. And then I let them see if they want to go further and discuss time-relevant things from that earlier stage. It's a multi-layered process, and one of the things I'm fascinated about with voice prosody is there are even more layers to be discovered as we continue learning more about how to do better mental health therapy. But those are some ways I'm currently working that have been really effective for me. And sometimes I wonder if there's an additional dimension to why those ways of listening are so effective. And that is because I'm highly attentive to what people have said to me. And as I mentioned, that might come from my early experience with my own voice and how I've listened and been able now to listen to others in a multidimensional way. So I invite you into this discussion to see how these things maybe are currently or could work for you as well. Thanks. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.